Welcome to the Damascus Road Gospel Talk Show. This is the service of the Damascus Road Community Baptist Church in Cockeysville, Maryland. Reverend Tony Lawson is the pastor. This is Joseph Miller. Email address is damascusroadcbc@gmail.com. On the last program, we stopped at Jeremiah 32 and verse 6. So we will begin there. Before we do, be sure to keep your phones on mute, except when making a comment or asking a question. Also, please have pen and paper ready to jot down information. Now let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are our teacher. We look to you to open up these scriptures here in Jeremiah. Bless us. Show us our shortcomings. Show us our sin. Show us how we can be more like your son, more like you, Lord Jesus. Lord, take charge of the teaching. Take charge of the technical part of this program and just make everything go well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We stopped at Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 6. We want to read verses 6 through 15 of Jeremiah chapter 32, 6 through 15. And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, will come to you, saying, Buy my field, which is in Anatoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, Please buy my field that is in Anatoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, who was in Anatoth, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses, and weighed the money on the scales. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open, and I gave the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neriah, Messiah, in the presence of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses who signed the purchase deed, before all the Jews who sat in the court of the prison. Then I charged Baruch before them, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Take these deeds, both this purchase deed, which is sealed, and this deed, which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may last many days. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land." In these verses, God tells Jeremiah, while he is still shut up in the court of the prison, that his cousin Hanamel was on the way to him, seeking to sell him his field in his hometown of Anatoth, only 3 miles north of Jerusalem. Because they were relatives, Jeremiah had the right to purchase it. Jeremiah must have thought to himself, why would I want to purchase land anywhere in Judah or Israel, since the Babylonians are outside the city walls, besieging Jerusalem, and in control of the land? But God directed him to do it, so he was obedient and purchased the land. We will find in our Christian walk that sometimes God asks us to do something that to us does not make sense. Speculation is that Baruch, Jeremiah's friend, brought the 17 shekels of silver to the court of the prison so the sale could be completed. At the direction of the Lord, Jeremiah then charged Baruch to take the deeds associated with the sale and to put them in an earthen vessel so they would last a long time. The Lord explained that, quote, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land, end quote. We see God's omniscience here, his knowledge of the future, and his omnipotence, his using his power to see to it that his words will come to pass. By the way, the famous Dead Sea Scrolls were found in earthen vessels, and they have been preserved for over 2,000 years. Any questions or comments on verses 6 through 15 of Jeremiah 32?
Verse 11, when it talks about the deed, and it says that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open, what is the open part?
It just means that it could be read by anyone. It didn't have a seal on it. When you think about a scroll, is rolled up, and
mm-hmm.
if it's sealed, that means it can't be read unless the seal is broken. So evidently there were two copies, one that could be read and one that could not be unless the seal was broken.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Anyone else with a question or comment?
Well, this is Sister Denise. I have a comment. When you really look at, Jeremiah, he's locked up in the prison. Being that
mm-hmm.
he's a man of God, we know that he's been praying. I mean, that's all he can really do is pray, because he don't really know what would happen around him. But here God puts it in his heart to sell the land to his cousin. We as modern day Christians, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And in this hour, we all need to be more sensitive to what God is speaking to our hearts and our minds to do. It's not just a church thing, going to church. It's your everyday walk. It's your children. It's your job. It's your home. It's your situations that we confront. If there's ever a time to draw nigh to God, well, he will answer, is now. So here, this illustration of Jeremiah, you know, he's in a court prison. How much can he do? He's barely getting fed and taken care of, but yet even in his heart, he's thinking of God, because God is the one that's orchestrating his footsteps. And we all as Christians, no one's exempt. We need to be more sensitive to God and his spirit and the move of God.
Amen. One thing, Sister Denise, Jeremiah is buying the land from his cousin. Okay, he's not selling it. He's buying it from his cousin. But any more questions? Mm-hmm. Any more questions or comments on these verses 6 through 15? All right, if not, let's go to verses 16 through 25. 16 through 25. Now, when I had delivered the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands, and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. You are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, to this day, and in Egypt, and in Israel, and among other men, and you have made yourself a name, as it is this day. You have brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror. You have given them this land, of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. They came in and took possession of it, but they have not obeyed you. But they have not obeyed your voice or walked in your law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have caused all this calamity to come upon them. Look, the siege mounds. They have come to the city to take it, and the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans who fight against it because of the sword and famine and pestilence. What you have spoken has happened. There, you see it. And you have said to me, O Lord God, buy the field for money and take witnesses. Yet the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. After he delivers the deed to Baruch, Jeremiah prays to God. He points out God's great power to have created the heavens and the earth. He refers to God's loving kindness and to his punishment for iniquity in his dealings with mankind. He recalls Israel's history and how the Lord brought them out of Egyptian bondage and gave them a homeland. However, his people disobeyed God's voice and broke his law, so he has brought great calamity upon them. He refers to the siege mounds of the Babylonians that are threatening the city. He ends his prayer by expressing bewilderment that God has instructed him to purchase land under these circumstances. The Babylonians have overrun the country, and he was directed to buy land. What do we extract from Jeremiah's prayer and confusion? That sometimes God requires us to do things that don't make sense to us. We must do them because God is all-powerful and all-wise, and there is history, that of others and of ourselves, which enables us to trust him. Trust and obey. Even when we don't understand why events are happening the way they are in our lives. Any questions or comments on verses 16 through 25 of Jeremiah 32?
I think it's a really good point that that you're making pertaining to Jeremiah having to do something that is, you know, pretty much awkward or peculiar. Many of us, we focus too much on our reasoning. We focus too much on our carnal mindset, the foot. And that's why I believe as Christians today, we have trouble hearing the voice of the Lord. Yes, we understand that his word is his voice. He speaks through his word. But as far as him speaking by his Holy Spirit, because we're so finite-minded, so carnal-minded, we wouldn't even understand if he did even have us do something that's really sensible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They're saying that we shouldn't. Can you summarize what the point is you're making?
We're just too carnal-minded. We're too five-sense-oriented when we should have the mind of Christ operating, if not 24/7, at least close to it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for your comment. Anyone else with a question or comment? Verses 16 through 25. All right, let's look at verses 26 through 35. 26 through 35. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans who fight against this city shall come and set fire to this city and burn it, with the houses on whose roofs they have offered incense to Baal and poured out drink offerings to other gods, to provoke me to anger, because the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done only evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have provoked me only to anger with the work of their hands, says the Lord. For this city has been to me a provocation of my anger and my fury from the day that they built it, even to this day. So I will remove it from before my face because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned to me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. All right. Verse 27 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because when I have something difficult to do or would like to see happen, going to this verse takes my mind off of me and my ability and off of events over which I have no control and puts my mind on Jehovah God Almighty. This gives me more faith to face the issue. Nothing is too hard for God to handle. God then says, because nothing is too hard for him to do, he will give Jerusalem into the hand of the Chaldeans, who will set fire to the city and burn it. Then notice how God points to the specific sins of the people of Israel and Judah. He says the houses on whose roofs the residents had offered incense to Baal and poured out drink offerings to other gods, those houses would be burnt when the city is set aflame. He points out the people who provoked him to anger, the kings of Israel and Judah, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He says they turned their backs to him and not their faces. They actually committed their abominations in the temple called by his name and defiled it. And they burnt and they built high places, places of worship in the valley of the son of Hinnom, where they sacrificed babies in fire to the false god Molech. This section underscores God's omniscience. He sees everything, and he takes note of our sins. He must not take the attitude, we must not take the attitude, I'll go ahead and commit this sin, and God will forgive me. No, as we see in this section, God takes seriously our commission of sin, and he punishes sin. Any questions or comments on verses 26 through 35 of Jeremiah 32?
This is Sister Denise. This is a good description of today. It's a lot going on within our cities, our states, and all the continents. People are definitely into sin. They're drinking, they're doing everything, they're into idols, they're not worshiping the one true living God, they're worshiping everything else. Some people worship their job, they got to have money, they got to have the clothes, they got to have the look, they got to have all these things. Some people are just get up and they do evil, and we know that for the crime rates in our cities, people just being provoked to destruction, destroying things. They're just walking evilly. And with the abortions and things of that nature, people, mm-hmm. Making sacrifices to the devil with their own children, making decisions to mm-hmm. do stuff. It is a time of repentance, and God don't like it. I mean, this is, what, B.C.? We talking about the beginning of time these events happening, and we are in 2023. We haven't changed. We haven't changed, and that's why God, like you say, you really embrace that scripture, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? We need to give God our situations. He tells us to cast our cares upon. We need to give God our problems as we face them. And also, as Christians, take a stand for those that may be led astray. You know, to tell people don't be doing this and don't do that. And, you know, this it's time for us as Christians to take a stand against evil. And that's just what we see here in this chapter.
Thank you, Sister Denise. And any other questions or comments?
Yes, quickly, I'm behind the wheels, so I hope you don't hear too much noise, but as far as anything being too hard for God, you know, it's never the problem with God. The problem is us having faith, because many times Jesus couldn't perform any miracles because of, you know, a lack of faith. And I really believe, mm-hmm. like my wife said, you know, because we're, you know, not trusting God, we're not relying upon God as we should, exercising that God kind of faith that he loves, we don't see as many. Oh, he's performing miracles all the time, but we would see, I believe, many more.
Amen. All right, any more questions or comments on these verses, 26 through 35? All right, let's go through verses 36 through 44. 36 through 44. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city of which you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will bring on them all the good that I have promised them. And fields will be bought in this land of which you say it is desolate, without man or beast. It has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men will buy fields for money, sign deeds and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captives to return, says the Lord. In these verses, the Lord resumes the positive, helpful, and encouraging declarations about the future that we saw in chapter 31. He says he will bring back to Israel and Judah those whom he had scattered to many countries. He says he will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be his people, and he will be their God. He will make an everlasting covenant with them that will put fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from him. Now, this covenant, by the way, is the covenant that you and I are living under and prospering spiritually under. This is the new covenant. the New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was impressed by verse 41, where God says he will rejoice over his people to do them good. What a wonderful image of God rejoicing to do good for his people. In that same verse, he says he will plant his people in that land with all his heart and with all his soul. I see determination in these words. And I see love for his people in these words. And because God is not a respecter of persons, then he rejoices over doing good to us, Christians, as well. And he loves us with all of his heart and with all of his soul. And what a great feeling it is to know that. In verse 44, we have the answer to Jeremiah's bewilderment over why the Lord would have him buy land that is being overrun by the Babylonians. The Lord says, men, quote, will buy fields for money, sign deeds, and seal them, and take witnesses, end quote. In other words, regarding the buying and selling of land, God is going to bring everything back to the way it was before the Babylonian invasion. He even mentions Benjamin, the area where lies the field which Jeremiah purchased. Jeremiah himself may or may not be alive when the people return to the land from their deportation. After all, the deportation was the last 70 years, but the documentation would exist to show that he or his heirs would have the right of ownership to that field. So it seemed very strange and very puzzling to Jeremiah why God would instruct him to buy land when he did. But God, of course, knew the future, and he knew what he would do. He would bring commerce back to Israel and Judah, where there would be the usual buying and selling of commodities and real estate. Again, sometimes God asks us to do things that don't make sense to us. At such times, we have to do, as the song says, trust and obey. Any questions or comments on verses 36 through 44 of Jeremiah 32? Okay, we only have about 2 minutes, so we'll look at, I'll just read, actually we have 90 seconds. We'll look at, as far as we can, the first 11 verses of chapter 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege mounds and the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with the dead bodies of men whom I will slay in my anger and my fury, all of whose wickedness I have hidden my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return and will rebuild those places as at the first. So I'm going to stop at verse 7 because our time is up. And we'll start there again. I'll probably read these first 7 verses again on our next study. So thank you, everyone, for calling in. God has blessed us. And have a good day and a good week. Goodbye.